This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now.
For now, anyway.
That's twice. I want some fun.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. It's a new week here at Gillette Stadium. Getting ready for another big showdown, AFC East. I think almost a must-win for the Patriots against the Dolphins.
It is a must-win.
I agree.
We'll be talking about that. We haven't had a chance, obviously, to talk about the game against the Jets because that happened Thursday night. So we'll recap that, give our thoughts about that. We've got a special guest. His name is Barry Icong. He is a very, very active Patriots fan, runs two fan clubs on the West Coast, organizes away trips to Patriots games. So he's going to come in. Kyle's going to bring him in a little later. We'll talk to him about what he's up to. And he's bringing lunch, so that's really the most important thing.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why we had a guest.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But we have to lead off with some sad news, and truly sad news. The economy has hit PFW in Progress right between the eyes. And this was a shock to everybody, but on Friday, Gary Gradecki and Mike Parenti got laid off from the company.
Yeah.
So
Friday was not a fun day in Foxborough.
No,
for a lot of people.
And you know, of course, they weren't the only two. It was department wide. But you know, as far as this show goes, that's a major loss.
And Lori, she was a part of this show.
You know what?
She wasn't answering. Part
forgive
of the show.
Me, forgive me. But yes, Lori too. You know, so
so fans did not get their way because they got wind of this via the media reports, and on PFW in Progress there was a poll as to who should be voted out, and Eric was leading that poll.
Eric is here, but he's not in the studio.
You are an habitual liar.
Yeah, so
I must have gone upstairs to work on the update.
You know, not fun, not good. You know, I feel for these people. You know, not just the ones that lost their jobs from our company, but all over the place.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. Every time you listen to the news on the way home, X, Y, and Z is cutting 53,000.
Citigroup, 53,000. That's in addition to another 20 that right. They already laid off.
53,000 people
from
Citigroup.
As
they say in Anchorman, this is getting to be re-goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's getting out of control.
Yeah. But Dan's in the booth. Dan is going to carry on. He learned from the best. Right, Dan? Yep, he's nodding his head.
He nods his head. He doesn't even try to talk back because he doesn't want to screw up early on his first solo effort.
Well, he's like Matt Castle when he took over in week one. I mean,
hand the ball off.
Sure, inside he has a little confidence, but also pooping himself.
Yeah. So it was not a fun time, Fred. I think you accurately described that, but we'll move on.
We have to. We have no other choice. We have a commitment to our listeners to provide them some Patriots radio content because they can't get it anywhere else. There's no one else doing it. It's just us.
We are the only place where you can get actual analysis of Patriots games. I'm being honest with that. We are the only place you can get actual analysis of Patriots games.
Oh, I was so mad yesterday listening to your show on EEI.
Paul has a show on EEI.
I don't have a show.
Well, he does.
No, wait. My Sunday morning show?
Yeah.
That was a joke, too.
Not the Sunday.
Dale Arnold.
But on Sunday, you could, you know, I am one of the permanent hosts of that show. I think you could get away with saying it's my show.
The one that you're a guest on in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, I take no responsibility for that whatsoever. And they just refuse
to just be honest. And Glenn was making the point, Glenn Ordway, that, hey, last year, you know, the Giants were just, you know, no one after 10 games had any idea that they would
even
get
make
into
the playoffs. Which is an out-and-out falsehood.
Right. But
that was really irritating.
You know, much less win the Super Bowl. And that's true, okay? We don't know at this point, but does that mean you can't have an opinion?
Right.
You'll
I mean, if anyone called in and said, hey, look, I think it's going to be tough because X, Y, and Z, and mostly because of the defense, they shoot them down and say, right. well, don't think that way because we don't know. Well, then what are you having sports radio
right.
for?
Exactly.
It is embarrassing.
You gotta have different opinions.
Here's what my point on that. First of all, the Giants were something like 6-2 in the first half of the season last year and were in the midst of collapsing in the second half before resurrecting their season with the win in Buffalo.
And that's why
Eli
Manning and Tom Coughlin were out, because it had gone south.
Right.
Not because it was a season long.
So don't tell me, you know, halfway through the season last year, no one would have guessed the Giants were even a playoff team. Absolutely they were a playoff team. They collapsed down the stretch and got it righted just in time. That's how that all came about. But the other thing is, if we can't say anything until we know, the way
right.
they were saying yesterday.
Right.
Are you telling me that last year, through 10 weeks, we couldn't say the Patriots were the best team in football?
Right, right.
Please.
Yeah.
The Patriots were the best team in football then. They are now. They were the best team in football in 2007. Now, I don't care that they lost.
Right.
They lost one game.
Right.
They were the best team in football in 2007. And they were the best team in football after 10 weeks in 2007.
Right.
And you could have said that definitively then, and you could say
right.
it today.
The whole reason for being... if you're sports radio, is to have the different opinions and discussion and analysis. But, you know, to a man, every time somebody said they were concerned about making the playoffs, you know, because of whatever, the answer was, well, you don't know. And that's just not the right answer.
Right.
I could say you're wrong because Castle's better and this is better and A, B, C, and D. But that wasn't the argument. The argument, well, you don't know after 10 weeks.
And then everybody that was
That's
calling up.
That's not good sports radio.
And everybody was calling up, giving examples and citing specific players and things like that, positive and negative. You know, other teams' players they felt were better than with the pit. And they would make these, like, under their breath comments. Fred, especially.
He's terrible.
He can cover? Where was he? You know, and it's just like these mumbling kind of. Again, Fred, where is the analysis? Tell me, okay, well, Matt Castle has really developed over the last 2 months, and he's to the point now where he can do these things that he couldn't do then.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the Patriots might be better in December than they have been to this point.
Look, that's a sound, rational explanation. I said it on our TV show because somebody said Matt Castle has to lead this team in the playoffs, or can he lead? The defense has to lead this team. Matt Castle threw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns on Thursday night, and they lost because the defense couldn't pull it out at the end. If they make the playoffs and go and win games in the playoffs, it's got to be because of the defense.
And somebody called in yesterday, what I heard, and said, I just think the secondary is a fatal flaw in this team. I don't see any way it's going to change. And the first thing Fred said was, they played pretty well this week. Did they?
No, they didn't.
The Jets got every third down they needed. I see Brandon Merriweather bouncing off people when he's trying to make tackles. They didn't play well. They haven't played well. And this guy's saying he doesn't see any reason to believe they're going to play well in 6 weeks. The callers are the ones that are driving the opinions.
Right.
And the station is saying, no, they were good this week.
I don't mind the guys in the studio having the opinion that the defense is going to get better.
Again.
But give a reason
other than they played pretty well this week.
I happen to believe that they're going to, if barring injury, more injury, I think they will get better.
Hey, we talk about it every week here when we break down the games. We were all in agreement. We thought the Patriots would win the game against the Jets. But there was reasons why we were wrong, but there was reasons why we felt, you know, they can force some mistakes from Favre. He can be a little reckless with the football. Well, he didn't make any mistakes.
Right.
Give him credit for that.
Yep.
You know, and part of the, you know, so it's not like they're just saying that the Patriots are going to win and we disagree with that.
Right.
We agreed with them. But give me some reasons why you think. And again, I think it's very rational to suggest the way Matt Castle is progressing seemingly by the week, you could make the suggestion that in December, this team's going to be pretty good.
Right. But
maybe they haven't been, you know, outstanding from
right.
September to now, but they might be better in a month.
But
than,
having
than
said
they were.
That, I don't think it's unpatriotic to say that he can get as good as he. I mean, you can't get much better than throwing for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But as he can get as good as he can get, but unless this defense stops other teams in critical times, they're not going to win.
But if he makes an extra play, I mean, I think what Paul's saying, maybe he gets to the point where he's now overcoming, because they're right now, they're the bad defense and the building offense is playing these games where it's neck and neck,
whether it's Indy, whether it's the Jets,
right.
you happen to lose them.
Yeah,
so if Castle can get to the point where they're making one more play, then right. maybe they
that,
are good.
That is
because
my point.
You can't
the
bottom line is
34 points to the Jets.
Oh,
the
I
league
agree.
Stinks. The bottom line is the Patriots are competitive with every single team in the league, and I'm still I think there's two very interesting games in the East this week. I think the Jets have a chance against the Titans.
You know, I do too, because I just think that
they're just not good enough to go undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Jets are playing pretty well, and they can make some plays on both sides.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, I just think the Titans are going to lose. Now, that said, I watched the highlights. Kerry Collins has a great arm. Like
he
always has, but
he's a better quarterback than he's ever been given credit.
You poo-poo him, and then he made a throw to Justin Gage in the front corner of the end zone where he just does – he has that kind of
army
motion.
Yeah, it's a whippy.
The elbows
out. Gordon Forge would call it a whip.
But
he
just put the ball with zip on the spot it had to be in. And if he can continue to do that, then okay, I think the Titans have a chance to be very good and go to the Super Bowl and all that.
And I think
but beyond them, who?
And I think what Jeff Fisher is doing right now to kind of – further your point about the Titans, Andy, is I think he recognizes we're going to win the division. We're going to have the number one seed. You know, at this point in the season, they'd have to, you know, collapse to a right. catastrophic level to not do those things. And he recognizes in order to win it all, I can't just stand here and ask him to throw the ball 20 times for 150 yards
right.
every week. I have to kind of expand a little bit. Now, last week they fell behind, so that was different. But in Chicago, you know, Collins threw for about 300 yards that day when the Bears completely shut down the run. Tough place on the road in November in Chicago. Not an easy place to throw the ball around, and he did it very well. This week against Jacksonville, you know, they fell behind 14-3, so he had to open up. But what I thought was really impressive, Fred, was they were up 17-14 with about 4 minutes left. They were in Jacksonville territory. With their defense, a field goal, you're looking pretty good, up six there in the last 2 minutes. That's not the way Fisher thought. 39-yard touchdown pass. He went for the throat and got it with his passing game. And I think that's going to be – I think that team is a little bit better than a lot of us have been giving it credit
for. That was a show-me game for them. They showed me a lot. You know, the way Jacksonville went up, I'm like, we're, you know.
I thought I had Jacksonville.
So did I.
I thought this was the week. And I thought it would be an upset. I think Tennessee's a much better team than Jacksonville. I was going
right.
with an upset.
But you figure, you know, they're both in the same division. You know, if they're going to get knocked off, this is a team that's really gunning for them. They're up there. They're up for the game.
Then
and
they know
almost
the personnel.
Did it.
They know the personnel well. And
you know, they almost did it. But Tennessee showed me a lot that game. And I still don't think they're going to be 16-0.
I don't either. But I'll tell you this. If not this game, I don't know how important the Indianapolis game
right.
that they have coming is going to be. But beyond that, and I have the schedule in front of me. When you guys talk, I'll look it up. But they have, you know, Detroit.
Well, it'll be
they have a cup. They have some cupcakes.
Indy. It'll be important to Indy. Indy's still playing for their playoff life. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Might not be important to Indy by that time. Who knows?
If the Patriots lose and
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's just say Indy wins out until that game. They might. They might be in Dungy mode. Dungy,
right.
And we know what Dungy does
true.
With games that don't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think they can do that this year.
Probably not.
They're not good enough.
Probably
and
not.
And I don't mean beyond.
They're just getting up to
they
speed.
They need to
they
play
need,
well every
exactly.
week
they
leading
need to,
into every next game.
But let's just say for argument's sake that they have the number 5 seed locked up. They have the top wild card locked up. They can't move. You know, Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
I'm Dungy. He doesn't play.
Yeah.
You know, if Manning is hobbling a little bit. You know, I don't know. You know, maybe he plays a quarter or something like that. I mean. And we know that's what Dungy does.
He certainly has in the past.
Tennessee has the Jets, then at Detroit, home against Cleveland, at Houston. So there's some cupcakes in there. Then they have two tough ones to finish it with, Pittsburgh at home and at Indy. So
that Pittsburgh.
And Baltimore's kind of nipping at Pittsburgh's heels. So that's
I would
good.
Be stunned. I would be stunned if they go undefeated. But the schedule is not that tough.
Now I'm kind of rooting
for
them to go undefeated
around that.
Until they get to Pittsburgh, because that would be a fun game to watch. Physical defense.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
is that game?
At Tennessee.
That would be a fun one to watch late in the year.
Nashville.
Just getting back to the Jets game, though, and you referenced, we all got to the right answer for this game, which was a close game decided by a play late, but we could not have been more wrong on how we were going to get there in the first 4-plus quarters to get to the ending. I mean, I think we all picked like 24-20, 23-20, all these close games, but we had no idea what kind of a game was
going
to
be. No, we figured it would be close throughout.
Right.
Each team had their time, and
instead,
then it came together at the end.
Yeah. Potential knockouts in either direction. Yeah. I thought it was one of the best games I've ever seen.
It was a very, very entertaining game.
That's the kind of football
of
I like.
Plays.
Both slugging it out, plays, mistakes.
I mean, it was a classic game, but if the Patriots had won, this right. play, we'd still be
It'd
like,
be the greatest game in Gillette Stadium history if the Patriots had won. Yeah. No,
I personally think it was the greatest game I've seen in this stadium because just the way it went back and forth and just the competitive level and the storylines, Castle and Favre, and everything.
I just couldn't believe when Moss caught that ball that he actually caught it. I mean, because
it was like time stood still for like a split second.
We sit in the press box. We're obviously
Have been further away.
No, we're glass enclosed, and they got these metal beams in the middle of each pane.
He's been complaining about these metal beams forever.
No, so you're kind of moving your head, and when he caught it, the beam was like right there, right in front of me. And so I'm moving. I hear everybody cheer, and I'm like, I couldn't believe he caught the ball. And then, of course, in the replay, it was confirmed.
And not only was it confirmed via replay, but go out and newsstands today,
PFW.
Patriots Football Weekly, the cover shot confirms without a doubt what a great catch, what a great shot that is on the cover.
Yep. Yeah.
And he caught, I mean, we knew he caught it anyway, but it was like time stood still waiting for the referee's arms to go. It was like, okay, he's got the ball. Yep, I got him in bounds. And it was surreal.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't just do that. You would think 16-yard line. It's going to be a bit of a fluky touchdown. It's going to be like a Hail Mary-ish.
No, it was a beautiful throw.
Oh, hey, Castle bought time.
It was also a beautiful coverage by a cornerback who needed to be a little longer. I mean, Ty Law was right there.
And he just got boxed out. I mean, he got Ty Law got beat by a better athlete on that play.
Right.
And, you know, I know it'd be nice to say, oh, boy, they really torched Ty Law in that play. Yeah. But they really didn't.
They didn't.
I mean, it just
– or all game.
Moss was a better athlete on that play, and that's just another in the long line of plays that – make you shake your head at him. But
after being not doing much, I mean, that's the other thing is everybody says, you know, Willie sulk, whatever. He didn't do much all game. And then when you needed him, he was there and he made the play. I mean, I think some people think based on his history that he's not capable, you know, once he shuts it down, okay, the third quarter, I've been shut down all game. I'm just going to tank it the rest of the way. When you needed him with 1 second to go, he made a great play.
Yep.
It's so funny because like Andy said, it didn't go the way any of us thought. I mean, there were some specific aspects that we talked about. We said, you know, whichever team was able to run the ball better probably would win. And you look at it when it all unfolds, the Jets ran the ball reasonably well, and the Jets stopped the Patriots' run, and they won. But that really didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
It was irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know it did have something to do with it. It made the Patriots one-dimensional,
right.
And that certainly contributed to their slow production in getting into what they did in the second half. But it really, the way the game unfolded, didn't have a lot to do with it.
I think, though, that the Thomas Jones runs helped Favre because what my analysis of the game, pre-analysis, was, you know, Patriots, we know that the Patriots are going to stop the run well. We know the Jets are going to stop the run well. It's going to come down to the quarterbacks. But it didn't come down to Brett Favre. It didn't have to come down to it did at the end.
He played a terrific game, but he didn't have to do everything that Castle had to do.
Right. They didn't force him into a lot of third and longs, which will increase the opportunities for interceptions and bad plays on his part.
And it was funny that defensively the Patriots couldn't stop him. Stop him, or Jets stop themselves, whatever you think happened in that third quarter stretch there, and then couldn't stop him. Two 14-play drives to close it out. It's the whole roller coaster in a lot of different aspects of the game on both sides. It was very
to me. It was, and I made this comment to you guys after the game. The game was tied three times: 0-0, 24-24, 31-31. The Jets responded with double-digit drives all three times: touchdown.
Right.
What I feel would have been a touchdown had they needed one in overtime.
I mean, third and 15. Oh, man, you couldn't ask for a better situation. Deep in their own end.
Right.
I mean,
it's set up there for a punt. You get possession. Castle moves you into field goal range, and Gostowski wins it. Game over.
That is what you're looking for.
Right up until you got a 16-yard reception.
And they couldn't make that stop. And that's,
Keller the killer.
That's the key right now for the Patriots' success going forward. Is are they going to be able to get off the field on third and long?
That's been a problem all year.
Yeah.
Third down defense has been a problem all year.
And while we're on third down, I'd like to point out the most miraculous stat I thought of the game. 511 yards from the Patriots on four first half third down conversions. Never converted a third down after halftime. Only had four total.
Wow.
Put up 511 yards and 31 points. To me, that's one of those. I know it's just a statistical thing, but
yeah, because they had a couple of fourth downs, right?
Right, but I find it amazing. Like, you went 0 for this after halftime and came back from the lead, put up all these yards, and never converted.
Huh. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. We've heard about Eric's exploits on the football field, and he's heard about the upcoming game with the greats. But this is getting ridiculous, and he's dragging Kyle into his delusions of grandeur. Yes, Eric, we know it's not pronounced that way.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan.
And former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the Game with the Greats.
Are you one of those diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 85 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriots Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
Andre Tippett, one of my linebacker brothers, will be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium, when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that was pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yep, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike sounds more like Beavis and Butthead. Now, back to the guys. And Eric.
All right, back here. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Talking about Thursday's game. And during the break, we also started talking a little bit about the refereeing over the weekend. I thought it was a tough week for them. A lot of...
You know how I feel. I feel every week is a tough week for
them.
I mean,
you know, we all
but
know...
But I'm sure that Mike Pereira is going to tell us everything was okay.
Well, no, they admitted
in
this.
In the 11th...
Well, that's only because, listen, there's been two times that I can tell you specifically this year that they've all admitted it. And in both occasions, the referee involved, Ed Hockley in week whatever against San Diego and Denver, and this week with Scott Green, the ref specifically said, I made a mistake.
But
so that takes it all out of my career.
They're calling
hands.
For an out here on, they're trying to change the replay play policy so that you can review it twice.
Well, you can go back to the booth if something comes up. You know, if there's another, you know, you can go back to the booth.
So it's still kind of saying, well, it's not really our fault. It's a bad rule. We couldn't fix the mistake.
But here again, though, there is a rule on top of this rule that you can't change a rule in the middle of the season. We already know that they've done that before.
And they're talking about doing it again. They said before the playoff, implementing it before the playoffs.
Right. But I think besides that 11-10, there were some other questionable calls.
11-10, by the way. First time ever.
11-10.
The game was 11-10.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
How?
You're going to tell me there was never a game.
Over 12,000 games.
10-3 and the team scores late and goes for two? Like,
well, you couldn't go for two that long, though.
I thought you could in the old days.
In the AFL, you could go for two. But the NFL implemented that rule in 94.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they had taken it away in the 70s
and
brought it back.
Maybe they did. But
I thought the old days you could go for two.
You might be right on that. But I know that they implemented it in 94.
What about him?
He has a TIAN.
Oh, Chris, with a TIAN is on the phone. How you doing, Christian?
Okay, what's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, we're just talking about football.
Chin up, little buckaroo. What's got you so down?
That's tough. I didn't like tuning in today and hearing that both those guys got cut.
Yeah, that is tough.
It was tough for us as well. And you know, there's no way to put a happy face on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you never know what the future holds. I just wish them the best if they're listening.
Yep.
Was that game, though, as far as that game, that was a heartbreaker. That was tough. I mean, to come back and for the defense to come out the second half and you know, give the offense the opportunity to make some plays there, that was tough. I mean, that's that in the Indy game. It just seems like I'm so used to seeing them make plays and not make mistakes, and it's like they're doing the opposite.
Well, who was it, Seymour, that said these are the games that we always won?
Right.
Yeah.
Aside
that's
from
what
the
you're
Super
so
Bowl.
Used to seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Watson fumbling and then the conversion on the third and 15, and then the Indy game, Gaffney dropping and Thomas penalty. I mean, you just see other teams doing that stuff. But
now, Christian, I want to ask you, and I asked Fred this on Friday. I came away from the two games feeling a little differently and not as good about this one as I did the Indy one, because the Indy one, I thought you were there, and there were some uncharacteristic mistakes, the Gaffney drop, the coaching errors, some specific physical things that you're going to say, well, we won't do that next time. He'll catch it. He won't hit him. This time, twice when you needed a stop, they drove the ball down your bleeping throats, and I know they had a coverage mix-up on the third and 15, but you still had more chances. Twice they put 14-play drives together, and you could do nothing about it. That left me feeling like, uh-oh.
When the other
they're
team,
just not good enough when they needed it.
If another team with a decent offense needs to move the ball,
they can.
Yeah, that's what I came away with.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I mean, that's, you know, you saw in this game, I mean, especially in that one play, If AD was in there, is he rushing the passer instead of Woods? Is he pulling back? Does Harrison stop him short? You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Certainly, Harrison
makes
that tackle.
Like,
I mean, that's
you know, it's all those little things. You know what I mean? But those little things are, you know, are adding up to the loss. Like, listen, they still got the talent. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, two stars were born in Mayo and Castle that night.
Yep.
I mean, I never thought Castle had a 300-yard game and I'm less than 400-yard game. I mean, we're expecting him, oh, he's going to have the Andy, you keep saying it, he's going to have that three-pick game, he's going to have that four-pick game. He's having three touchdown games.
Right.
And it's, you know, you're really getting, and it's not him. You know, and it really is a defense. But this is going back all the way back to Indy in the championship game when the defense, you know, gave up all the points in the second half, and then
you're right.
You know, it's just it seems like that's where it started. Now,
well, you know, and I mean, last year it was covered up,
right?
Yeah.
Didn't have to.
Yeah. Oh,
they
really
haven't. But I think Christian's right, because they really haven't had many stops in situations where, hey, we need a stop here, since that championship game in Indy.
And every time they had to,
I thought the Jets game, the first game, you saw some signs of that.
I didn't.
Well, you had the.
I didn't
they
say
ran it the four.
I didn't
three
say.
Times
I didn't say the Jets.
Line.
I didn't say the Patriots didn't play well on defense during that whole time. I said the other teams got the ball with a chance to win. We need a stop here.
Yeah.
And the times that you could say they came up with that stop are few and far between.
The Indy game,
you know, Kansas City opening day.
Right, but
let them drive all the way to the five, but they stopped them.
And it's
they
Kansas City.
They stopped them.
But
I'm
you're
saying,
right, like the Super Bowl.
I can't think of too many of
was
those.
The only. real opportunity.
The
they
Jets
had
game,
last
the Jets
year,
never got the ball, you know, within a score in the second half with a chance.
The second
there.
Half, right, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and even last year, I mean, last year there were some games like, you know, after that Buffalo game when the game started getting tight, like the Baltimore game and the Philly game, they made some plays, you know, when they had to get the ball back in the Baltimore game and in the Philly game when Asante picked off the ball. In the end zone,
yeah,
to stop them.
Right.
I mean, there've
been
they
very,
are
very
between.
Few, and,
yeah.
and that's what I've been. That's what I'm most concerned about. I echo Andy's concern there because the Indy game, I came away with saying, well, that will never happen again, and I'm pretty confident it won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a penalty like Dave Thomas at such a crucial time like that, but I can't say that what I saw last Thursday night won't happen again because I've seen it happen many times.
Yeah.
They simply need to play better.
Yeah.
But can they? Then there's the question. Do they have the horses? As Christian said, you know, Thomas may not be coming back.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
Rodney isn't coming
back.
Well,
we should talk about that. That brings up injuries. Christian, you got anything else for us?
No, that's it. I just want to say that, you know, if we win this week and the Jets lose this week, we're sort of right back where we were
that's
a couple
right.
of weeks ago.
Right.
So
we're still in the hunt.
Yeah, let's get a win.
All right, Christian. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You know, that brings up injuries. We still don't know the status of Adalys Thomas.
Right.
They have not made a move on him.
Right.
And Wheatley has
gone.
Been placed on IR.
And a side note that we've talked about, the guy getting the promotion was a tight end. We had speculated Vince Redd might be in from a promotion. The guy they brought up from the practice squad was Tyson DeVries, your old friend, Fred.
Making it look easy
to the active roster.
He looks at me with that blank stare.
Well, could Dave Thomas be hurt a little bit? Because I didn't see him much.
He did not play much in the second half.
No.
And
you might be right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or they could just be seeing.
But Andy's point was if it was Vince Redd elevated, then you
right.
probably
right.
would have wondered.
Because we've been
kind
of speculating
Thomas.
About Thomas Redd, the injury situation, the lack of depth there at line, all that. And they had the opportunity to sort of do something there and didn't.
All right. Kyle has just walked in.
How's it going, guys?
With food. But more importantly, well, I guess not, I don't know if it's more importantly, but
not more
just
importantly.
As importantly, he comes with a guest, Barry Icong, right?
In Siang. Yeah, good to meet you guys.
For 2 years, I've been saying your name incorrectly.
Yeah, I think we all were.
Barry,
not many people get it right.
Is it In Siang?
In Siang.
What?
It's a Filipino name.
Filipino. Okay.
Okay.
Although I'm just a tiny bit Filipino.
Another one with all that hair. For God's sakes.
Do you know Dave from the Philippines?
Anybody bald anymore besides me?
Dave from the Philippines always.
Does he know Dave from the Philippines? I just got that.
Well, you really went bald.
Right. Who's actually from New York?
Right.
All right. Barry In Siang is here, and Barry, I know that you run a couple fan clubs for the Patriots.
Right.
And you're like all over the place. You're going to away games. Tell us your fan clubs. And tell us, you know, the things that separate you from the normal fan, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm anything more than a normal fan, but I am definitely a diehard fan. The club I started up in 2003 is called Orange County Patriots Fans. So that's California Orange County, of course.
The OC.
And
the OC.
You know Russell?
You know, I don't know him, surprisingly.
Okay.
I know he calls in on the show all the time, and I've been wondering why he hasn't come out to join us for games.
Well,
maybe he'll hear this, and he'll have to come join us.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that club is just basically about getting together on game day to watch Patriots games. So we've gone through several sports bars over the years. The one we're currently at is in Tustin on the border of Irvine. It's called Old Dubliner. It's an Irish pub, and
maybe I just drink to get drunk.
They've got a great setup for us, the big screen and high def, and they take good care of us. So if there's anybody in Southern California, whether it's living there or maybe you're just taking the family out to Disneyland, you know, doing something out in California, we invite all Pats fans to join us there, you know, on any given Sunday.
Yep.
What kind of turnout do you normally get? How many active members are?
Well, the Yahoo group, which is where you can find more information about the club, you go to groups.yahoo.com, then you search on Orange County Patriots fans, you'll get to it. But
why can't you get the info on patriots.com?
That's true. That probably takes a few more clicks to get to that.
Thanks, Chris Ferreira. Nice job. You strike again.
Shout out, Chris. I love it.
But anyway, we have almost 400 members registered in the group, but a lot of those people don't actually live there. They just want to be part of what we have going on. When the game is not on regular TV, you know, in the LA market, we get 40, 50 people to come out.
That's great.
When the game's on TV, it's probably about half of that.
Yeah.
So we always have a good time regardless.
Wow.
Now, you also organize trips on the road.
Yeah. The club I started up that basically became active this year. It's called Patriots Tailgate. And it's partially because I go to a handful of road games. You know, I like to travel with my wife, and, you know, we've gone to a lot of different cities. And anytime you go into the other team's, you know, stadium to tailgate and such, it's a little more daunting, you know, especially when there's some pretty vicious fans out there. So the whole idea was just getting Patriots fans to get connected so that we could hang out together, you know, have a good time. There's kind of an instant camaraderie that goes on when you have Patriots fans outside of the New England area. So basically, it depends on what city and what game, but sometimes we're able to get group tickets so that we can all sit together. In other cases where that's tougher to do, all we're doing is setting up a tailgate. You know, everybody meets at the same location and,
right,
you know, that kind of thing.
So have you, like, are you talking with other fan clubs and trying to, like,
yeah,
know, create
so.
Sort of a, you know,
a network.
A network of, mm-hmm. of away trip people? Or
yeah, we're not doing too much of organizing travel, although in some cases we actually have been able to get group rates for hotels for the people that are traveling. So, you know, I think if it grows, there's a lot of potential that
I
we
think
can.
So.
Yeah. So right now that club's got about 350 registered members, but, you know, we just got started, and I think, you know, being with Patriots fans being all over the country and a lot that want to travel, there's potential to make this something big. And maybe it's something the Patriots, you know, FCOR would want to be more involved in and helping to spread the word. But otherwise, right now, we're happy to just get whoever we can reach through message boards, right. through
right.
your, you know, I think you've given us a little bit of publicity yep. for it. So.
So FCOR, when you talk about that, you talk about the Fan Club Official Registry,
exactly.
which is on Patriots.com. Anyone that has a fan club, you have 10 or more members, you register on Patriots.com, tell us who your members are, we'll get all the info up. And I actually have some tools that I'm going to introduce in about a month that can help all the clubs, I think.
Cool.
What's your favorite trip, favorite road trip that you guys have taken?
Probably Arizona in 04.
That was
a good one for us, too.
that was a home game.
Yeah, exactly. There were so many Pats fans there. The club out there, the Arizona club, which I believe is the largest in
yep.
the country, they did a phenomenal job. They had a party the night before. They had the tailgate all nailed down. To be honest, they have an advantage because those Cardinal tickets were easy to come by. So we were able to take over that stadium with no problem, unlike going to San Diego where, you know, tickets were a lot tougher to come by, you know, back in October. Coming up in December, we've got two more West Coast games. So I'll be at both of those. Seattle, where we're expecting a large turnout, and Oakland the following week.
So if somebody wants to get in touch with you for that Seattle game or the Oakland game, what do they do?
Yeah, they go to groups.yahoo.com and search on Patriots Tailgate. In that case,
Barry's email is also available on patriots.com. If you search his FCORE pages, the Orange County page and the
Patriots tailgate
page.
Right.
Okay. A lot of acronyms, Freddie.
Well, FCORE. FCORE. I like that.
FCORE.
Yeah. Remember that show F Troop?
No.
Remember that?
Yeah,
anyone? Remember F Troop?
Heard of it.
Larry Stork?
Storch.
Well, he's been getting Barry's name wrong for a year and a half now. How did you, like, skip 3 or 4 letters in the middle there and just call him Icon?
I don't know.
There's an N and an I. Like, is the N silent in your mind?
It's just what I remember. I'm not reading it off a piece of paper.
Now, a lot of people get flustered when they see that combination of letters together, so don't worry about it.
So is that guy Chris Gokong? Have you heard of him? He plays for the Eagles, I think. Now he went to school out in California.
No, I don't even know that.
He's
name.
A linebacker, I
really?
Believe. He was like a star. I mean, he might have played 1AA or Division II out there. Now he starts for the Eagles.
Hmm.
I don't know if he's – you said you're Philippine? Oh,
I have a little bit of Filipino.
I wonder if that's what he
yeah.
is.
I'm from Hawaii originally, where my father grew up, and he's Japanese, Chinese, Hawaiian, Filipino, and Spanish.
Who's the guy from Honolulu?
Holy
you know
crap.
That right, Sin?
The guy from
I'm only, you should
that was
just
probably
have ties
me.
To
that
everyone.
Was me years ago. I was getting the PFW back in the late 90s when I would get it. I was telling Kyle this last week. When
this feels like a story about it being late.
Exactly. Even with the priority delivery, it was still came the Monday after the game.
I hate hearing that. So,
but that was in Hawaii.
Is this your first time out here?
I've been to Gillette a number
of times,
but this is the first time I'm getting to see all of this. So
okay.
this is. Yeah,
you been
this
to the
is,
hall yet?
Yep. We checked that out on Friday.
What'd you think?
It was it was incredible.
Yeah.
I could have spent all day there, but yeah, it was. I plan to come back and
great.
See it again and again.
Now, how is it that you get to travel all around the place?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, do you have a job?
I do, fortunately. I guess I have a somewhat flexible schedule. I do consulting. But anytime I've had a lot of luck in when things come up that I need to travel for, whether it be, you know, weddings or business or such, a lot of times they've just been when the Patriots games are going on, but I find a way to work it in. You know,
it's good.
You know, if I have to work some extra hours, you know, to get some time off, I'll do that, whatever it takes.
All right. Well, Barry Insiong of the Orange County Patriots and Patriots Tailgate.
That's right.
Both of which you can find on FCore on Patriots.com if you need more information about any of his clubs or you want to get in touch with him because you want to travel to any of the two West Coast games that are coming up. Barry's going to organize the whole thing, right? How much of your
we do
time...
have tickets for the Raiders game. I should note that.
Oh, you have available
we have a group block of tickets
as
in the lower level on the Patriots sideline.
Oh, cool.
You know, we'll worry about the safety of us going in later, but
I hear
but right now
their bark is worse than
the
bite.
I'd be a spot
there.
On a plane for that game too if I can get out of it.
How much of your time is taken doing all this organizing and everything? Is this like a part-time job for you?
It could be, but because I enjoy it, I don't consider it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at some point it would be, you know, if I took upon too much responsibility, then yeah, it would become a job.
Right.
But I do what I want to do. So,
cool.
How many
Patriots fans do you communicate with usually? Like, would you say you're in touch with and generally?
Well, the membership in both of the Yahoo groups is between 300 and 400. So, you know, and there's a lot of overlap between those. So probably 600 to 700 people that I'm could be in communication with one of my emails.
Every time I talk to different Patriots fan club presidents or contacts that we have through the fan club registry, they're always like, yeah, and Barry from, do you know Barry from Orange County? And I'm like, yeah, I get you. The guy's name keeps coming up everywhere. So
yeah, I'm pretty active on the message boards and, you know, I'm always following, you know, the media and stuff. So I guess, yeah, here or there, I'm always somehow involved.
All right, final question for you, Barry. On the season, what's your take so far? What do you think the Patriots' chances are? What are your concerns? What are your, you know, things that you're looking optimistically at?
Well, you leave me with an easy question to finish up,
huh?
You know, I've been very the positives are the development of our rookies and our younger players. I think, you know, we don't normally see that. We don't normally see these players get to, you know, step into these roles this early, you know, in terms of guys like Mayo playing the entire game, Guyton, you know, plenty of others that have filled their roles pretty well. It's obviously been frustrating. We've been spoiled as Pats fans for years, expecting them to win over and over. You know, there was a time where we didn't think there was a game we'd lose. So now we're kind of playing with a different approach, and you know, I think this is kind of where we get back to being a true football fan and not just, you know, relishing, you know, one of the great dynasties. So. You know, I'm optimistic that, you know, things can get done. And part of that is based on the fact that this season has been so unpredictable for the rest of the league that, you know, week to week, you know, one team can look like, you know, being on top of the power rankings and the next week they can lose to the Raiders. So, you know, there's a lot that's going to happen even in the remaining 5 weeks or whatever we have left. There's so as long as we stay in the hunt, I think good things can still happen.
All right, Barry. Well, we thank you for stopping by. And Kyle, have you had a tour yet, or are you about to do that?
We just walked all over the stadium, checked
great.
Out the press box,
cool.
Club level.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That was a great opportunity to see some of the things I wouldn't normally see. And I also, just from a little gift I brought for you guys, besides the lunch, is some chocolate-covered macadamia nuts from Hawaii. So
I'm
going to enjoy those.
That's great.
Damn right I will. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks for coming in. Barry Insiong.
There you go.
And again, you can reach him and his fan clubs on FCore on Patriots.com, and we thank you for coming in. All right, we'll take a break.
Out.
We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender.
Twogender.
January 29th, 2008. I'm a creep, and I can admit it. Paul didn't want to be included in this blog about Kelly Pickler, but I have nothing to hide. While Pickler talked with Sammy Morris, Paul and I came up from behind and got our team photographer to snap a photo of us behind the buxom blonde. Pickler is hot. She's tiny, too. Can't be more than 5 feet tall. For a guy who is only 5'9", that's perfect. And it's good to see she's put the money she's made to good use by, enhancing her body. And I think I'm in love with Pickler. And I'll be telling my wife that when I talk to her later today. I will be printing a copy of the photo of me creeping up behind Pickler and framing it. Short blondes with large breasts, especially those willing to show them off, are my favorite.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here. I think the funniest thing about that is in Andy's blog, he said, Paul didn't want to be part of this blog, but, well
that's what I
guess
do.
He's part of it now.
Pretty much what he's been doing to me for, what, 6 years, 7 years now? How many years have you been
here? Kind of like when I say, I don't want to take a shot at you, and then I finish the sentence by telling you what the joke is I was going to make fun of you with.
Did you happen to catch Pickler on the Country Music Awards last week?
I'd like to. Like to catch her anywhere I could. Just a side note. Remember how last year we were talking about how the Patriots had their own tab on ESPN?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, holy
crap.
Oh,
back when they had the winning streak, yeah.
Well, the Titans have one now, too. There's a Pursuit of Perfection, and they give stats and stuff.
10 must be the cutoff, huh?
Maybe. Or maybe they just realized, hey, it worked last year. Let's do it again. Another topic we should talk about, I don't know if now's the right time, does that devalue the Patriots if the
it depends
Titans...
on what the topic is. I don't know.
No. No, does it devalue the Patriots if the Titans go undefeated?
Absolutely.
Does it totally
yeah.
poo-poo the... Do we I rip mean, that banner down out there?
Yeah, well, you never have, no one's ever done it before, and then the next year somebody does
I agree.
It. Yeah, I think it does devalue
I agree. I mean, it's yeah. it's sort of like the home run record that got devalued when it was
yeah,
30-something years to McGuire and then 3 years to Boggs.
I am making no bones about it that I'm rooting against them, and one of the reasons is so that they can't do what the Patriots did. I'm
gonna have
I'm
champagne
not
out. You're gonna be like
magnanimous, like Mercury Morris. I don't want them to win.
I agree with you.
You know,
I don't want them to either. And I agree with everything you said. Like yeah. it does devalue it a little.
I mean, 30 years from now, okay. You know, but not the next year for crying out loud.
And I think your home run analogy, Andy, is a good one.
Thanks, Paul.
McGuire to Bonds, 3 years later, 2 years later.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yep. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. I want to remind people that the online pro shop is open, as it always is, 24 hours a day. You got to get your holiday shopping in. Do it now. Do it now. I think they have the $5 flat shipping, so that's a good deal.
What if I buy something round?
Then, I don't know, it bounces to you. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm very proud of us, Fred.
Why is that?
Because we're 52 minutes into the show, and we have not mentioned a word that I've already heard ad nauseum this week. And it starts with a W, and it refers to the Dolphins' offensive package, Wildcat.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of us.
Well, we haven't really started talking about the game coming up yet.
I know, but I'm still proud of it. I mean, the entire conference call yesterday was Wildcat. The whole press conference to start today was Wildcat. And clearly Bill has kind of had his fill of talking about the Wildcat and how great it is.
You want me to start off tomorrow? Well, actually, it won't be tomorrow. Well, yeah, no, it will be because he's going to do Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well,
I'll just say, Bill, have you about exhausted all the Wildcat questions?
Well, if they run it again and it's successful, he's going to have to answer them again. So I hope that they have an answer to
that'll
it.
That'll prove he doesn't have an answer for it if they can't do that again. Right. I kind of agree with him, though, that the bottom line is they can't stop the guys running the football.
Yeah.
Wildcat or not, they need to stop the guy with the ball, which is Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, those guys.
Right. On the phone right now is Bertone from Florida. Bertone, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Bertone?
Hey, reason why I was calling is this last game, that touchdown with Randy Moss. Am I the only one thinking that? I'm thinking 2 points conversion after this. Would you guys feel that way at all?
Well, I think we thought about it. I mean, we discussed it because it's an obvious question, but I just don't think you can. I don't know why. I would have a reluctancy. I mean, you got to have big stones there, I think, to go for that.
Yeah, I don't think this is like Herm Edwards with two wins in the season
right.
saying, what the hell? Obviously I was wrong, but I figured at that point my defense is going to make a stand if I don't win the toss. So I'm going to take my 50-50 chance of, you know, not getting the ball and leave it to my defense to get me back the ball. I'll take my chances. Now,
I also don't think your chances of getting a two-point conversion are better than 50-50.
Yeah.
So to me, I make the, you know, I agree with you, Fred. It's one thing if you have nothing to play for or whatever, or, you know, if your defense is banged up and stumbled to the finish line or whatever. There was no reason to think that you couldn't stop them.
Right.
You know, if you had to. The second half, the Jets had put together one sustained drive to that point. I'd have kicked the extra point and taken my chances in overtime. Unfortunately, it didn't work out.
And they were one play away from doing it, 3rd and 15. They had them. They set it up perfectly. You know, but... What are you gonna do?
One other reason why I was thinking that way, number one is we just scored that touchdown. I feel like we got a little momentum going. And then we had converted a 2 point earlier. And the fact that the defense really, I mean, they really weren't stopping the Jets at all. So, I mean, if the Jets got the ball, that's the way I was feeling. I mean, the first thing that popped in my mind is when they scored that touchdown, okay, I'm like, okay, they might as well line up and go for two and win it right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth consideration, I think, for a second, or at least thinking about it. But some of the factors I think you'd be considering, one is they've been good on the goal line this year. They've been good punching the ball in, whether it's been Kevin Falk or Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. They've done a good job, but they haven't been necessarily a red zone team, a very successful red zone team. And obviously, the two-point conversion is essentially a red zone play. So would, I mean, Bertone, say you had gone for it, what would you have been looking for a play call? Pass, run, what would you have gone for?
I would have ran it. I mean,
see, yeah, the problem with the 2-point conversion in that thing is whether you get it, that's the last play.
Right.
You know, by not going for it, you have several plays ahead of you to win the game. Right. But that's it. I mean, you know, to me, I think it's just too big a risk.
With not enough reward. It's not like you're stealing this emotional victory. As you said, Fred, it's a team with nothing to lose and everything to gain from this big upset. I mean, you need to play what you think are the percentages to give you the best chance to have a chance to win. I mean, this is an important game in the division, in the AFC, everything. There's a lot on line.
Because, you know, you just scored. It's a huge touchdown. The fans are going crazy. Your team's pumped up. You take your chances of your defense stopping them because you've got the momentum on your side. That's just my feeling. But you're not alone, Bertone. Other people did say, oh, maybe they should have gone for the two.
Yeah, and that third down and 15 we go up the beat. My goodness, that took the air out of it.
That was it. Yeah, that took the air out of it right there. Yeah. Yep.
But that's all I got, fellas. Thank you for taking the call.
Okay, Bertone. He's in Florida. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Dan Double Gender just handed me an email from Paul in London. He wants me to read it. He says, no looking at the picture until the end. Oh, there's no picture on here. You sent me an email.
It's in your email box, Fred.
Yeah, but I'm...
And you don't need the picture because he just said don't look at it till the end.
Okay.
Read the email.
I don't have a picture.
It's called show prep.
All right. He says, hi, guys, including Eric. Including Eric, he says. I would like to thank you all individually on the day I become an official adult in the UK while attempting to break the record for the amount of sound bites in one email. So are you ready for this? Dan, he's expecting you to play sound bites in this. Are you ready?
No.
He holds up his finger.
That's the answer. No.
All right. I'm just going to keep reading. First, I would like to thank, obviously, Fred Kirsch, who wants to embrace the hate in 08. Embrace the hate in 08, baby. Good. Then there is Paul defending the Patriots, Perillo, who we found out works for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
I'm defending the Patriots, Fred.
Now,
you have that marked in the tape?
Now my favorite PFW guy, as he has the same humor as me, Andy Orange Fire Water Hart, who is Rashard Mendenhall's biggest fan.
Yeah, Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Then the resident, I can't say it, Eric, who want to eat my salad, Scalavino, has no formal artistic training.
You want to
eat
my salad?
He also enjoys singing the national anthem in his spare time.
Oh,
he's way behind.
Can you see?
You skipped salad.
I can't do them all.
Some other great moments of this year.
He skipped. He had no formal artistic training, too.
So these are
you
great
stink.
Moments.
I have for the year formal end artistic training.
This is other great moments, according to Paul. During the draft, Eric saying he wants a tight end, to which Andy said he has a tight end but wants to be a wide receiver. Fred, rape and pillage rant, which ended with his mic being cut off. Eric singing Just the Two of Us to Paul Perillo at the beginning of a show.
Very uncomfortable.
The Castle and Welker show. Who would know that Izzo has a little wiener and that 7 months on they would be the force of the Patriots offense?
That's true. We
were ahead of the curve.
Yeah. The leading receiver and the budding star quarterback on this little show, those two chairs over there.
We'd like to have them again if they like.
Won't happen.
Fred and Paul arguing over the ref's decisions earlier in the year. And finally, Brian Lowe, when proving his message for election to the job, who would know that we would go F ourselves? Thanks to James from Wales, not just for running the best website on the internet, buy a t-shirt, but for bringing me back the Mayo t-shirt I wanted, as well as the gifts of the calendar in the PFW paper, which is excellent. Take a look at the picture of my other half since everyone else is sending in pictures, and yes, she is legal. I'm sure Annie will enjoy it as well. And yes, she does know I have sent it, but she doesn't listen to the show, and she doesn't mind any comments you have to say.
Okay.
Any comments?
Any?
We now have pre-approval to say anything we want.
Oh, my God! No.
You got it? Spin that computer around.
Oh, my God!
Is that a hair job?
Coming over. Talk about it, Fred.
All right, Paul. Now, really, what are you doing over there in London? I mean, she's got no clothes on. The only thing she's wearing is her hand. Literally. Paul, what are you doing over there? Oh, my God. Andy, stop breathing on me. Oh, that now Kyle has to come over. Kyle, you're too young for this. So
she can be in the calendar.
She's in the calendar.
Wow, she's on the cover.
Matter of fact, she is
the cover,
the calendar.
The center spread.
I had just one question for you, Paul. Are they real?
They look real.
Are they real?
The way her hand is pushing them and they're
pushing one in and it actually is moving.
It's moving. It doesn't look like a solid.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
She knows that photo was sent and has no problem with it. God bless her.
you know, in like 5 minutes, it's going to be all over the internet.
How?
I don't know. I thought
I was going to say the only people that have it are us. So if it is, we're to blame.
What are you planning on doing with it? Because I'm planning on deleting it. Get yourself out of trouble.
Strippers, you might want to give this young lady a call.
Yeah.
She's got the assets you look for.
Oh, my goodness.
Employees.
You know, see now, Mike, where is Eric, by the way?
I don't
Speaking
know.
Of asses. I mean assets.
he wouldn't have cared about that photo, though. No interest.
He's not coming down today?
I have no idea.
If Paul in London had said a photo of himself, then
Eric would have been
excited.
You might want to keep that one. Save that one to desktop.
No, that's okay.
What are we, NDI now?
Yes.
Ping Pong writes in.
Ping Pong!
Hey, guys, and Eric, how's it going? What a game. It kept me pumping up and down until the final whistle. Was he what? Looking at that picture?
Ping,
what
are you doing?
I thought that the Patriots
at that
pumping.
Picture?
Is that what it says? Pumping.
It kept me pumping up and down until the final whistle.
Ping pong.
Oh no! Jumping, jumping, jumping.
Ping pong. That definitely makes more sense.
I thought that the Patriots would go for two. It's like Bertone when they made the touchdown with 1 second left on the clock. I remember either Bill or Brady saying in the book Patriot Reign or Moving the Chains that when you play to tie a game, you play to lose. You always go for the win, never the tie. Do you think that the Patriots should have gone for two and won the game? They could have done some Falk direct snap or something. Anybody that blames this loss on Castle is a complete moron. He played a Brady-like game, 400 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. It's a great game. I think that we are seeing Castle evolving from a guy who didn't play in college to one of the NFL's best backup quarterbacks. On a lighter note, did any of you see T.O. on Letterman? It was quite funny. If you didn't, here's a video link, and he sends us a...
I didn't even know he was on Letterman.
I didn't either, but did anybody blame the game on Castle?
No. Not. I think that's done. That whole...
Well, that game, certainly.
Yeah,
if he goes out and throws three picks, I'll say, Castle lost that game.
Yeah.
We know what he's capable of now.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, he references kind of what this leaves you with about Castle. I said this to Paul. I now feel, just as a sports fan, like disappointed because he's clearly talented and he's never going to be what he could have been had he played in college. You know, he could have been, who knows, a first-round pick. And even if he becomes a starter next year and goes and helps a team win games, he always would have been better had he played previously. And we're never going to – it's like he missed his true calling or his true opportunity in life somewhat. I mean, he's had a great life. He, you know, a lot of great things, USC, national titles, Patriots, Super Bowls, everything. But you just wonder what would he have been had he played right out of high school and college and gone up the ladder the right way.
Yep.
I don't know.
There's no substitute for all that.
But you never know. He might have been drafted in the first round by somebody.
And busted out, right?
And because of the pressure, not played well. You never know.
That's true. The butterfly effect.
And it also could have been a system kind of thing that mm-hmm. – you know, his ability to sit and learn from Belichick, widely regarded the best coach in the NFL, and, you know, kind of slowly work his way into things that might have benefited him.
Yeah,
sure.
Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania writes in, I just wanted to give some and hear some of your take on the season and some of the snapshot opinions some fans, Pats fans, are taking. These are snapshot opinions. One, I know everyone is excited how Castle's playing, but if the internet and all the talk shows were around in 87, I share you this. Tom Ramsey played for the Pats and started a game and threw for over 400 yards in a loss against the Eagles, 34-31.
Overtime.
The next year, Paul, he remembers the weather that day. The next year, he started a game against the Colts and was benched for the one-pass wonder from Natick and was then cut. My point is, Castle is doing well, but settle down the talk of keep Castle, franchise him, or whatever. This is not Brady versus Bledsoe. This is a nice story of Matt Castle, who has come a long way since week one. There are still 6 weeks to go. Anything can happen. One thing so far, the season was not lost because of Matt Castle was the quarterback, with the exception of maybe the San Diego game. Two. The Pats season comes down to the next two games, Miami and Pittsburgh. I think it's safe to say we need to win both games to even talk playoffs. The key is the defense. And even though there's some hope with the young linebacker, where is the young secondary? Miami is going to be tougher than Pittsburgh for obvious reasons. But Belichick has 10 days to get ready. I think he will be fine. Three.
Are we commenting on these, like, after the fact?
Yeah, after the fact.
Okay.
Three, kudos to Brian Morey. Went to the hall. Could not spend enough time in there. It was magnificent.
He was here?
Yeah, he didn't even come say hello.
Sean.
Something as long,
my boy.
Something as a longtime Pats fan I always wanted to see. Can't wait to go back. As for the game this week, this is the Pats' last chance for the division title, a loss here, and there won't be any AFC East champ hats or shirts to give out this year. As most fans, my expectations were lowered greatly, but still hope for the playoffs. This game is a playoff game, and I see a 28-17 Pats win. The defense will rise, but again, a loss here, no division, and playoffs are on life support. Then the talk will be, did that loss in February change the franchise forever? So a lot of people thought that.
I think it's kind of tough to make that claim, though, when Brady gets hurt in the next game.
Right.
You know, if you're 6-4 right now with Brady all year, then I'm wondering if that game in February changed things forever.
Right.
But the one thing, I agree with almost all of Sean's points, as I usually do, but I don't think that they need to win both of these games to have playoff aspirations. I think they probably need to win them both if they expect to win the division. And I also don't agree that Miami will be tougher than Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's a much, much better team than Miami.
I think until they have more than six losses, they're in it.
Yeah, well, in the playoff. Huh? Right. I think if they lose one of these two games, you're looking at having to win out.
Right.
To have even a chance to win the division. And I think that that's probably tough to assume. But if you can split these two games right here, it's not optimal, but you still have very, very good postseason chances.
Sure.
You think?
11-5?
What? I'm on my fifth macadamia.
But again, you're assuming they win out after
right.
that.
No, but I'm just saying it's not, you know, I think until they have more than six losses, they're in the playoffs.
Okay, so if they were 0-6, you'd think, well, until, you know, they have more than six losses.
I wouldn't count them out.
Oh, I think they're in trouble if
mathematically
they lose.
Out.
Is that the question?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
do you think their playoff hopes are gone if they lose one of these two games?
No, but I like the way he put it, life support.
No, well, he thinks.
No, not him. I'm pointing to the computer.
Pointing to the computer.
Yeah, Fred's not going to be worried until after they lose seven games.
Until they're mathematically eliminated.
You said more than six.
Well, then I'm worried. Now they have no room for error.
So you won't be worried until they
lose
seven.
You'll have been swept by the Dolphins, and the Jets.
I think this is a must-win. I do. I think
in the division you're in trouble.
Game.
You're battling those same teams
for a
wild card,
and you'd lose.
You lost to the Colts. I just think a lot of things go against you there.
There would be three teams that you're fighting for a wild card with, and two of them you would have lost tiebreakers to,
right,
with Miami and Indianapolis. Baltimore would be the other one that you don't play them. So you would be. It would definitely be a blow, but I think that, like Fred, you know, I think that there's a chance that the Patriots could rebound from a loss against Miami and run the table. I don't think there's a chance Miami runs the table. I don't. That's why I don't think that they're, you know, dead in the water if they win one of these two games.
We've got to win this game.
I think this is the easier of the two games, unlike Sean. I think Pittsburgh is
got to win this game.
A better team than Miami.
Ah, someone's at the door.
Hi, this is Eddie Mack. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Directory Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. What the hell are you guys up to now?
This is the first entry from Daniel Twogender, taking over the role here. And he went with Fan Dan. That's Fan Dan.
Fan Dan.
And it's a Scottish insult.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I can't really say the rest, right? Okay. I bet you I'm going to get more head shakes when I look at Dan and ask that question.
From now on,
I used to.
I don't think you can ask that question anymore. Because I don't think that Twogender is the guy that we want to be asking.
Yeah, he's got no stones.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about what sports radio is all about, and you got to have differing opinions, or what's the point?
Right.
And Chris in the Bronx writes in, I'm moving next week and in the process of cleaning out some newspapers, came across some back issues of PFW, one of which provided a great trivia question. Oh, this isn't what I was – oh, this is another one. I'll get to that one later. He says, hey, guys.
Did somebody sneak in and
just one listener's comment in light of your description of EEI. One thing I really appreciate about your show is that you listen to your callers, even if you disagree. This has improved since someone left the show. No comment. I'm so glad that you don't imitate the callers in sissy voices. Just glad you guys are on the air. You can make fun of me now if you like. Just no whining, please.
No, we usually wait till we're off the air, and then we do that.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
But, no, I appreciate that, because who's to say what's right and what's wrong? No one knows. That's what irritated me, Fred, about what you were saying yesterday, is how they were talking about, well, it's only 10 games. We don't know anything.
Right.
Well,
I can't stand it when that's the answer to an article. Well, you don't know. Well,
it's like every time Bill makes a decision, we can't comment on it because most of the decisions Bill's made over the years have been good. Well, why are we here?
Right.
Right.
Or just the election we just had. Here? You don't know which guy you were voting for is going to do a better job, but you have to cast a vote. You need to vote for somebody based on who you think can do a better job.
Right.
We'll find out.
Chris also has a trivia question.
Economy's still plummeting under the Obama
era. Are you ready for some football?
Chris has a trivia question that only Paul would get.
How do you know?
June 1st.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Should I exclude myself from this then?
Well, it's one that we're going to have to work on. I don't think anyone's going to have the answer right away. It's one of those things you have to start making a list. But the June 1st, 2005 edition of PFW had a cover story about the Pats taking 17 linebackers into camp. The question is, can you name all of them?
Oh, wait a minute. You wrote that story, if I'm not mistaken, Andy, didn't you?
Dan
stocking the shelves or something?
Linebackers?
We used a theme of like a grocery store shelf.
I think you wrote that
story. Dan Klecko was one of them. Chad Brown was one of them, right? Monty Beisel, that was that year.
Yeah, it was a big year.
Do we already have Chad Brown at that time? Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so that was part of the Klecko conversion to linebacker.
We're not
going
to spend
Mike Vrabel.
I'm a PR guy myself. I know that's totally.
Willie McGinnis.
Yep.
Teddy Bruschi.
Yep.
Are you writing these down?
Was McGinnis?
I have the answer. I have the answer. I know
so.
Bruschi was not. Oh, he might have technically been, but he was on PUP.
Oh, yeah, on PUP.
So.
Yeah, he was probably one of the 17. Yeah.
Yeah.
In June, he was one of
TG and NJ, here's how I see it. He says, Pats are 6-4 now. The rest of the schedule is as follows. Loss to the Dolphins. Loss to the Steelers. They beat the Seahawks and Raiders. They lose to the Cardinals and lose to the Bills. That makes them 9-7. Not enough for a division win. Will it be enough for a wild card?
No.
I think not. Pats don't make it to the playoffs this season. Kind of sad. Super Bowl loser jinx continues. If only they had beat the Colts and the Jets. What do y'all think about how the rest of the season plays out? I think they beat the Dolphins. I think they could lose to the Steelers. I think the Seahawks and Raiders are wins, and I think they could win out. I think they can beat the Cards, and I think they can beat the Bills.
Well, can win out, or you think they will
win? I think they're going to lose one more game the rest of the season.
Wow. Okay, I don't. I think they lose at least two, maybe three, and I think that
I
think if Hasselbeck continues to play in Seattle, there's a chance they could lose in Seattle. I think the Cardinals game, if the weather is reasonably good, they could lose that game.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, but when Kurt Warner plays and is healthy, he eats up secondaries like this.
If the weather is bad, the Patriots beat Arizona here, and I think they beat them somewhat handily.
Right.
If the weather is reasonably good, like it was, say, Thursday night, I think they're going to have an awful hard time stopping that team.
11-5.
If Bill needs the game, we know he'll get the weather the way he needs it. Right?
Right.
If we're giving away our predictions.
11-5 is definitely a possibility.
If we're giving away our predictions, I don't think there's a shot in hell that they lose this week in Miami.
I my prediction,
98% Patriots victory. I think Matt Castle has to break his leg on the first play for them to lose.
I like the Patriots' chances this week. I don't think Miami scores enough right now. The way the Patriots are moving the ball now, I've completely flip-flopped in the way I look at these games. I think now you have to score to beat the Patriots. And I don't know if Miami can score enough. Now, I know they put 38 on the board the first time. I don't expect that to happen again.
Right.
So, I think 24-20, something in that area.
Jack writes in, where is Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? He was gone after the first quarter and never returned. I think he came back in after the first quarter.
Well, they didn't run. They fell behind big, and they had to start throwing the ball.
But he was there. He was on the field a few times after.
Not much.
No.
But they didn't have any running backs.
But he didn't get hurt or anything.
No, that I know of. He had two carries, I think, and Sammy Morris had five, right? Something like that. They didn't run the ball.
Yep. Saying goodbye to Barry. Barry had lunch with us. He was still in the studio.
Now that his name tag is gone, what's his last name?
Insion.
I'll ask you tomorrow, too.
Don't you just shut the... John at South Carolina.
But they couldn't run the ball in that game. Based on the score, I think, is the reason why Green Ellis and Morris were out.
And Chris Jenkins was just doing a great job. You know,
mm-hmm.
John in South Carolina, missed the start of the show. Excuse me if you've already covered the subject. The Patriots have had some problems with tight ends this year. Which position is typically responsible for covering the tight end? Insert an error comment here. In the past, I have seen Harrison cover big game tight ends like Gates, but is that normal?
I think a bigger safety could be asked to do that, like Ronnie's a good size safety.
But what about Guyton? Guyton could cover a tight end, right?
Well, I think that you have combination coverage too there, and Andy will know more about this than me with linebackers. But I mean, I would think on that play that they would, this big 3rd and 15 play, and Dean said yesterday specifically, flat out, it was a blown coverage. I got to think that one of the linebackers was supposed to be dropped into at least the area.
Right.
It couldn't be that easy for Brett to just kind of flip it over the middle with nobody in between him and Keller for 14 yards. There was only Merriweather behind. I would have to think that was supposed to be some sort of combo coverage where you have an over-under situation, linebacker under, a safety over.
John also says, I think Bill said he didn't go for the two because they had already used the play they would want to use for the two-point conversion, or at least that is what the Big Show said. And by the way, you guys are 1 million times better than the Big Show.
Thank you.
Strippers wants that picture forwarded to him.
And that is where Fred is right. It'll be on the internet in 5 minutes.
That's what I mean.
That's interesting. They only have 1 2-point play.
Well, or the one that they wanted to use in that game.
No. I know going into the game. No. He says that all the time, that they have in mind a 2-point play, but I also assumed they had a second 2-point play in case you needed it because, I mean, we're going to praise him for being the most prepared coach in the history of the game. Okay. He's never said, ever said, hey, Bill, what happens if we have to go
What if we're down 16? Up, we're gonna have to kick it and lose by 15. We didn't have another two point play.
Dan, the old Pats fan in Roswell, Georgia. Sorry to hear about the layoffs at Gillette, especially Lori. does this mean that Patriots Today is canceled, or will we have to deal with B-Low by his lonesome? No, Lori is not the host of. You haven't watched lately. That's
Cherry
Christina
pie?
Acra.
maybe he's just confusing.
Right,
me.
Christina Acra is still here, and she just did a segment with Paul.
She did.
I was like,
and Fred was trying to throw us off the game.
I was looking through the glass door trying to get them to smile.
Distracting.
Paul would not take his focus.
And he doesn't smile.
He would not
much.
Look anywhere.
Yeah, I never have a good time. You're right.
He's a party pooper.
Especially
he
when
doesn't
I'm
stand
drunk.
Up. He doesn't. Well, that's the only time. That's how we know that you're drunk, is because you're having a good time.
Right.
The rest of the time, you're a party pooper.
I always thought.
By the way, Fred, have you discussed the Hall of Famer in our presence?
Paul. Well, we did talk about that.
You guys did.
But now he had the actual event.
They had the actual ceremony, and there was a little bit of a different glow about you when you came in Monday, Paul.
Well, I do sign my autograph now with HOF after.
Right, because Saturday night you were officially inducted into the Boston University Sports Hall of Fame.
Baseball.
With Harry Aginnis.
Listen, there's a big difference.
Harry Aginnis.
Baseball.
It was. Harry Aginnis.
Do you have an arena next?
Harry Aginnis did get inducted.
But isn't he like in the real Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it was a BU baseball Hall of Fame, and there's a big distinction.
And he was also the black guy on the class, based
upon.
Oh no,
there was three others with me.
Wait.
Guys had 1.11 ERAs.
It is a sport, but they don't. This wasn't the Boston University Hall of Fame, Athletics Hall of Fame.
Most, I thought it was for BU.
It was Boston University
baseball
Hall of Fame. That's all. It was just the BU Baseball Hall of Fame.
Andy, I'm trying to get him going.
When you're trying to annoy him, you're annoying me.
I don't understand what.
But the best
what
part of the story, Fred.
There's a big. I mean, I don't want to overstate.
No, I don't think you should understate it. You got into the. Sports,
you got a glass bowl.
You got into the Baseball Hall of Fame for BU.
Yeah, listen,
put your keys
nice.
In it when you get home now or something.
It was nice.
Except for the fact that the others were real Hall of Famers, and you.
Harry Aginnis went in the same night you went in.
And Mickey Cochran.
Is he alive?
Harry Aginnis is dead.
He is.
So one of the greatest athletes
out of an embolism.
Paul
so he
Brown
was a great athlete.
Yeah.
The other guy had a 1.1 ERA,
there
Paul.
Was a lot
one guy
of,
went 17
listen,
and 1.
There were seven. There
and
were 11,
Paul went 3-37.
There, 10-21. There were 11 people inducted that evening, and seven of them were from past eras. In terms of like 40, there was three different eras, like 30s and 40s, and then like the 50s and 60s. All of the previous seven, the old-timers, I'll call them, either were great players at BU, went on to play professional baseball of some sort, or were just
remarkable.
The four of us.
Boring.
So then why did you get in?
Just commitment.
Do they
dedication,
know that at every
character.
Opportunity you badmouth that school?
No, I didn't badmouth the school. For
BU?
That. I didn't badmouth the school for that.
No, not for that night.
He doesn't really badmouth them all that much. He kind of like, yeah. Just
all right.
Blows them off.
We're going to take a break because Eric's here. When we come back, we're going to have a practice report.
Yes.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission. Statement right there.
Why? I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85. So I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
One thing Paul does know is he's the BU Hall of Famer. No one can take that away from him.
Except BU.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, maybe they could take that away from him.
Despite the fact that you guys continue to try to take it away from him.
You'd have to do something real bad.
Jealousy.
Other than the performance of your career, which was 10-72.
Listen.
I love when you correct me.
How many Halls of Fame have ever let in somebody who was less deserving of being in a Hall of Fame?
He must have done something else.
He's just jumping on the bandwagon.
Did you pay?
I thought he was going to defend
from the backup punter. At least I was a two-time captain.
Did you pay Oral
and a GPL All-Star, by the way. I was a league all-star my sophomore year.
Heard that.
But
I heard it, Fred.
By the way.
Want to use it again? Go ahead.
Did you pay oral homage?
Are you getting in the Tufts Football Hall of Fame?
Hell no.
All right, so what are you making fun of?
I don't think we have a
That's what we
hall
do.
Fame.
We make fun. Forget you. You were a backup punter.
Forget you.
Well, that's my next question is, when are you going in, Eric, to the
I didn't play baseball at BU.
I have no formal artistic training.
They have a baseball one and not a football one?
Well, they still play baseball, don't they?
No.
Oh, they gave that up too?
Yeah.
Do they play any sports other than hockey
there
now?
Women's field hockey and hockey, yeah.
Do they even have a basketball team anymore, guy?
Huh?
Do they even have a basketball team
They got
anymore?
Basketball.
Yeah, they dropped football and baseball.
Jeez.
Well.
I'm not getting into that.
Well, I'm waiting.
You average 70 yards a punt.
You'd have to
you
at least
go in the NFL Hall.
You'd have to at least have appeared in the game too.
Yes, that's correct. Fred. That's
exactly.
Correct.
Okay.
Just real quick before Eric's practice report, it's a sad day for you, Fred. John Lynch, Patriots great.
He's retired. Actually,
today.
No, it's a day to be
as a Patriot.
It's a happy day.
No, and apparently he's going to be in the booth this week doing a game for Fox.
That tells you how much prep work you need to do those things.
Okay.
Well. Isn't it going to be great, though, to see
I love when
Lynch
the voice
on that mic flag?
Yeah, I mean, that's a dream day to see Lynch there.
On the mic flag, I like that.
Eric.
What's going on out there?
You're okay. Back from practice, indoor or outdoor?
Indoor, Fred. I'm a little surprised.
Pads or no pads?
Uppers.
Uppers.
Okay.
I still don't know what the hell that means.
Helmets and shoulder pads.
Real shoulder pads or shells?
Shoulder pads.
Okay.
Just so you know, you were wrong last time.
Because the last time you were wrong, they had the little underpads on it, the shells, the soft shells. When you
Says who? Well,
says the photos.
Exactly.
To Eric, they're all huge shoulders, so he doesn't know.
No, he's like, they had shoulders?
I'm guessing they did it just...
Oh. They were in shorts.
I'm guessing they decided to go inside just to try to play up the heat factor, because it's bright and sunny. There's not a cloud in the sky
is
out
it
there.
It's hot and it's cold out.
But it's... not really hot, but it's warmer than it is out there.
Don't you think?
Well, it depends. If there's no heat on in the bubble, isn't it kind of cool? Like,
well, it was probably just starting to heat up.
50 degrees?
I bet you by the time that they practice, it'll be warmer. Certainly warmer than it's going to be outside.
Yeah.
Or our offices.
Well, it's warm in the office?
Freaking freezing.
It was cold.
Oh, so why do you want to practice?
My nipples were erect.
Again,
boy. Stuff, more information.
Today, stuff that Junior. No one needed to right. hear. Right. So,
this being a sort of an extra Wednesday.
Oh, here's that video game on TV where you can team up the superheroes and fight.
Mortal Kombat versus DC Comics or Marvel, whatever
it's
it is.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, back to the practice report.
I might have to get that for
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Four guys
there
missing.
There you go.
Four guys missing. We knew about AD, or we had a good idea that he wasn't going to be there. But we also were missing Richard Seymour.
There?
He was not there.
Okay.
Richard Seymour.
Ooh.
Eric Alexander and Lamont Jordan, who we did see in the locker room.
Sleeping.
Sleeping, as usual. That's
was
what
he
does in the locker room.
At his locker?
He sort of lies down on the floor, puts his feet up on his folding chair.
Pulls his hooded sweatshirt over his face.
And for that 55 minutes or whatever it is we have.
Sammy Morris was there, though.
Sammy
That's
Morris
good.
Was there.
That's a good sign.
He's back.
Yeah.
Sammy Morris is back.
So Ty Warren was out there?
Ty Warren was out there. So I'm thinking maybe this being an extra day that they normally don't practice, maybe one or two guys needed some extra day to rest or recover. Maybe we'll see them back out there tomorrow or Thursday. But
okay.
Do they have to give an injury report today?
Nope.
Probably not, right?
I don't think till Wednesday.
Actually, I take it back. Full pads. Not uppers. It was full pads.
How the hell?
Because I was just thinking when I was scanning the field, I remember seeing
they
the guys that had the pants and not the sweatpants. Some guys had sweatpants before, and then they took them off and had the regular pads underneath, so that threw me off at
and
first.
This is the guy that people say does the best practice reports.
Well, look what I have.
People?
Look who
person?
Else we're comparing them to. Person.
How was the media contingent?
Very small.
Small?
Very small.
Small.
Yeah, it was...
In stature or just numbers?
Well, both. It was
well,
me
and
Mike
Reese were there.
Me and Mike Reese.
Yeah.
But then we're offset by Shalice and Karen General. Well, she's taller. She's a lot taller than us.
Yeah. The four people in this room took that as a shot, so she will.
Oh, no.
Especially when I tell
he
her.
He was saying short in stature. I said we were offset by a taller person.
So there weren't a lot of people
there. You said we were offset by Shalice. You never said taller person.
Because he was saying short.
He said small.
Just a little bit.
You took a shot of Shalice.
Just a little bit.
What are you talking about?
No more rubbing your head.
Oh, no.
She's going to punch you in the face.
No, she won't.
Okay, so
several cameras, and you've used that one already.
I know it's funny.
Several cameras,
he's right?
It
hard.
Was funny.
That'll do it for the practice report.
Oh, don't! What are you being like that for?
On second thought, they didn't have helmets on.
Oh, wait a minute.
On second thought, Mike Vrabel was nude.
Well, somebody was.
Castle
when he was talking to
there.
Him today. He was dropping his
no,
pants
he wasn't,
all over the place.
He wasn't nude when I started talking to him.
How'd oh, and as you started warming him
How'd
up,
you
he started taking
you
his pants
right?
off.
Saw you talking to Gaffney.
I got Gaffney.
Get some shots of Sanders, I think.
We got photos of Sanders,
Sanders and Ventrone.
I talked to somebody else.
Kazier.
Kazier.
Yeah.
That's right. You told me that.
I don't know if it was last week or the week before. You said that Ellis Hobbs had started some kind of new routine during stretching. Is he still doing it?
No, he didn't. That was the one day he did it. And got a lot of laughs, but we haven't seen him do it since then.
And I don't think Eric really sold that as like a tradition.
Oh.
He said it was a one-day thing.
Well, it was new the day he did it,
right,
and he hasn't done it since then.
But it was just something he did.
But
what was he doing?
He was doing that. He was sort of like holding court. You know how they have this? He and a few of the other guys have like a circle where they
click, stretching, click.
Yeah,
the little DBs.
And he started. He was
all linebackers are there.
Really?
I think Thomas was there.
Adalys Thomas, and then it's James Sanders, and now Delta O'Neal has joined in that group. So now it's just the three of them because AD wasn't there. But he was doing. Hobbs was doing this thing where he was sort of like acting like a host of either like a radio or a television show. And he was like running down a list of updates from all the players in the circle and what they had done recently, like off the field. And he started telling this story about Antoine Spahn, about how in the previous game he was like really cold beforehand and he had to run to his car. It wasn't making any sense at all to us, but all the players were laughing. So obviously there was some inside jokes going on or whatever. But it was just very comical the way he was doing it. And then he's like running down a list of guests. And he's like, we'll be joined later today by head coach Bill Belichick. He'll have some thoughts to share with him. Just pretty silly. But
okay.
He's not resurrected that since that day.
All right.
The speaking of Hobbs, WEEI this morning was running a show open or one of these things that they put together with Hobbs from the first Miami game. That was the game where he kind of criticized the fans for stabbing you back and then being there. They'll pat you on the back as soon as you make another play and they forget about it or whatever. And he was kind of critical of the fans, and they really turned it into an open that really, really shredded Ellis Hobbs.
Really?
It was because I guess earlier in that game he had a nice return and pointed at his penis. Because now they're like referring to him as the penis pointer, Ellis Hobbs.
What?
And
who's doing
on
this?
EEI?
Yeah, it was like the voice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were referencing that, and they were shredding him and just ripping him beyond belief. The morning show. You know, wouldn't happen on the noontime show or the afternoon show.
Well, speaking of that, Christian also writes in. He says, you guys are dead on about the big show. If Friday wasn't bad enough, listen to those morons just put it over the top. It is really embarrassing, he says. So I hope we're not making it uncomfortable for you. I know they listen to the show.
You're fine with me, friend. I do this. I make it uncomfortable enough on myself when I call them on all these things.
We're out of here, Andy.
I mean, say what you want about Hobbs on the field, but he's one of the nicer guys to talk to, and he's a stand-up guy in the locker room. He always talks.
I don't think he's had.
And after
I think he's had a decent year.
I think he's had a very good year.
I think his year as a kick returner has been outstanding.
Oh, he's great.
And
you want to bench him there, though.
As a corner, well, you know why. As a corner, I think he's been the best of an admittedly weak lot.
It's like saying I'm the best on this show. I mean, it's a bad show.
Why? Why? Who really? That you think Delta O'Neal is better then? Because why? I don't know why that's at all even comparable.
Delta O'Neal, just for the record, told John Tomasi at 11:54. I got to get to one thing real quick. I'll be right back. Locker room closes at 11:55.
Todd writes in. How did Law look in person? On TV, it's hard to tell, but I thought he looked like he was in great shape, and his coverage on Moss on that last play was as good as you could have. Why didn't we open the purse strings a little and get him in New England? Looking at him on Thursday, he looked like he might have a few years left in him. Something needs to be done about our secondary and our weakness on third down plays. I think we're going to regret this one down the stretch.
I agree with all of it.
I think he did look in good shape.
I thought he looked to be in good shape. I thought he played far more than any of us thought he would. I thought he played well. I'm not sure how much of a solution he is beyond this season, however.
This season. See, that's
this season,
he definitely would have helped.
He signed for the minimum there.
He could have.
Well, why didn't he sign for more than the minimum here?
Hey, I'm not sure.
It's a pride thing.
I'm wondering.
No, you didn't let me finish my sentence before you did your defensive thing.
No.
Why didn't he sign for more than the minimum here?
I don't think we could.
I'm not
we may
sure
not have
they
had
the
money.
Room, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they had the room. And I don't know, you know.
Because we all assume he's a money guy. So if they paid him prorated $800,000, and we offered $900,000. Yeah. It's only $100,000 more, but to Ty Law, it's more.
There was another stipulation in there, by the way, which came out over the weekend. I don't know which paper it was. I forget. But some sort of guaranteed money that he got.
Yeah, but it was minimal.
But it wasn't that much.
It was like $100,000
or something. But that might have been the difference. when he says it was that close. Maybe he just got a regular
yeah.
veteran minimum at one and got a veteran minimum plus a guarantee of something else.
I got to tell you, with this secondary, if they weren't willing to write him a check for $100,000 or couldn't write him a check, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because you, he could make a difference. From what I saw in that one game, yep. the way he went out there and played, yep. he could make a difference.
He's a strong guy, and he knows how to use his hands, and he ties up a guy at the line just enough to throw them off.
He was in a lot better shape than I expected him to yeah. be in. And like Paul said, to play that much,
he was in
at the second
play. Randy Moss, who's supposed
right.
to be this great playmaker, the guy was off the street 3 days, and on the second play of the game was 6 inches from Randy Moss's face. That tells me, well, we know he's confident, but Mangini wouldn't just throw him out there if he thought there was no chance in hell he could compete.
And did you hear him talking to, you know, it's like, you know, I wanted to go out there. I want to play against one of the great receivers. I don't right. want to go out there and play against
some guy
I
could take 2 years off and cover.
he's the same Ty Law as he was back in 1995.
If the Patriots do end up playing the Jets later in the season, you know, that quote, all the other receivers are going to be listening to that quote.
Big deal.
Hey, I remember when we played Carolina.
And they'll be happy because they'll be in the postseason.
in the Super Bowl, how Carolina said they were just going to be so physical with our receivers, and the Patriots used that to their advantage.
And how did it?
And they won.
But how did that help them?
They won. They won the Patriots. They won the Super Bowl.
Because of some comment at the
Carolina? It all.
Last I knew, the Patriots were a heavy favorite in that game, and they won the game
with
last play.
Paul, it all counts. Yeah, by putting up one of the biggest offensive shows in Super
really?
Bowl history.
But Fred, how would it
in the second half?
How might it help the Pats receivers if Law is covering Moss all game? Let's say.
Oh, they'll switch it up. They'll move Moss around.
This time, Jabbar Gaffney will catch the ball when he's wide
they'll
open.
Move Moss around. Phil in Salt Lake City, rough couple of days thinking about the game without hearing your input. You guys really need to be on every day. Okay. I watched the Jets-Pats game, and I don't remember hearing about the stud Golston. Did he even play? If the Jets had
very
to do
little.
It over again, would they take Mayo?
He played very little, and I'm not sure. Maybe they would have.
I don't think they would have because
Mayo.
I think they were looking for an outside guy.
Yeah, I still think
they have David Harris, who's an inside guy. He
clear,
was hurt this week.
It's
but.
Clear that that Mayo's rookie season is a waste, is a wash. He's not playing.
Golston.
Golston. He's not playing, so it's clear that he's not a part of their plans or whatnot. But I'm not sure that that would have changed anybody's opinion if you drafted everybody now. I think if you still think that guy is as physically gifted as you thought.
Yeah. And there's plenty of guys
Mayo
that,
in
Andy
second
makes, year.
Andy makes a great point. They didn't need Mayo. They needed someone on the outside.
Think about the last time that we drafted an inside linebacker that was – you know, he wasn't as highly touted as Mayo. Well, Ted Johnson. And it took him a little while to pick it up.
I was going to say Katzenmoyer would have been the last one.
Was more hyped up.
It was a first-round pick.
You're right.
And the year before
but
was
even
a hype machine.
That makes the point even more. But you look at Ted Johnson. He had a successful career, but he didn't get it right away. He didn't have the type of production right away that Mayo has had.
They're not even comparable on athleticism. They're not even comparable.
Well, I'm just saying.
Ted Johnson was an old-school run-stuffing line.
Physically, Mayo has impressed us, but I think the most thing that impressed me the most is his mental capacity to pick this game up at this level this quickly.
I think Mayo has been outstanding. I think Ted Johnson was pretty good right away as a rookie. I think it's comparable.
Oh, okay.
I do. And I think very highly of Mayo. I think Ted Johnson maybe didn't start immediately like Mayo did. But he played a lot right away,
and he
played well right away.
Yeah, I remember.
Prototypical
I remember Ted
inside
Johnson
linebacker.
Saying that my big problem in this league, my deficiency, is in coverage.
Yeah.
So they were taking him off the field in those situations a lot.
Yeah. Mayo's been outstanding.
A quick on the horizon.
By the way, he was at the game on the sideline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the horizon, Alabama, running a 3-4 under Nick Saban right now, has a 252-pound inside linebacker that. We should keep an eye on moving forward. He's playing very well for
Name?
Them. And I don't know.
Inside guy.
If you see a 250-pound inside linebacker from Alabama,
that's
it's this guy.
The guy Andy's talking about.
I'm not at
I'm
the combine
just wondering
look
if,
for Alabama.
You, know, you happen
and this
to know
guy.
The guy's
we all know. We all know
asking.
That Alabama is going to be that team that we're going to keep an eye on.
Right.
Going.
But I'm just saying now to get your second guy. He's not as athletic like Mayo. He's more of a run stuffer. So you'd have your two guys just mm-hmm. down the road, just projecting.
Well, that's the part of it that I do like. And Christian had the phone call early in the show about his fears and concerns about how this defense really going back to 06. the difference, and Fred, we were talking about this yesterday with No Socks, if you remember. The difference, I think, between now and past years is I at least now I see a plan. I see a direction. I don't know if they're going to hit on all of them, but I see guys like Pierre Woods and Mayo and Gary Guyton, Brandon Merriweather, James Sanders. I see a nucleus of younger talent.
Sean Crable.
Okay, Sean Crable, Vince Redd, you know, these guys, if they work out, 2 years from now, we might be saying, wow, what a really good young defense we have. Mm. Whereas 2 years ago, I saw problems and didn't see solutions. I didn't see answers.
And it was old.
It was old, and they weren't that good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only they were getting on in years, they weren't that effective all the time.
Yeah.
Now, we might not be that much more effective, but at least I think we'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
In 06, there was nothing to show me they were going to get any better based on the personnel that they had. I think stepping away from Junior Seau, not plugging in with John Lynch and guys like that this year was
a, help them down the road.
Yes, a good move for the long haul.
John writes in, he says, this is a request to any member of the O-line. If you have the chance, can you please take the penalty and shove a cleat in Joey Porter's big mouth?
I'm going to second that. I'll take a 15-yarder on the first drive.
Maybe we can run you out there with like
a... Well, I don't know if I'm the guy to do it. I want someone to be able to do some damage
funny.
On Joey Porter.
I'd pay to see Joey Porter stuffing a cleat in Paul.
Well, exactly.
I want someone that can do some damage.
We'd have to give him a weapon to make it fair. But
I hate Joey Porter.
I'm so sick of this guy, says John. He is still whining about warm-ups from the last game. Hey, dummy. Maybe the team showed you no respect because you talked crap about us for the entire week before. What do you expect? Cookies and milk?
So. Joey Porter's talking about last year, and he's not talking about personal respect. He's talking about team respect, just to clarify.
Mm, interesting.
But there was a thing about the pregame warm-ups, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
In general, though, punting the ball over our – was a team thing. He was defending what he perceived as a disrespect from one team to the other.
Imagine – you know what we should have? We should make the all-time no-respect team. You got Rodney Harrison,
Willie.
Joey Porter,
Willie
McGinnis. You know, all guys who are always complaining,
pretty good team.
always complaining about not getting enough respect. That would be an interesting team to put together.
Jeff Fisher would coach because he's always whining about the team not getting enough respect.
Vinatieri, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
Only Eric could put a kicker on the team.
Somebody has to.
Matt from Quincy, I'm going to Miami for the game this weekend. Should be a great time. You always hear that the desperate is the one that usually wins the game. Well, in this case, for a change, I think the Pats are the desperate team. That being the case, I'm guaranteeing a win, and feel free to pass along any good places to go to in Miami.
I agree.
We don't actually stay in Miami. So.
And we don't actually leave walking South distance
Beach.
Of the hotel.
Right.
The Clevelander on South Beach.
The Clevelander.
Yep.
That's Clevelander.
And tell us about this place.
It's an outdoor bar, nightclub, kind of thing.
Is
right
it,
on no it, yes it's for everybody, you moron. But it's
you
cool
very,
place
you played that very well.
I knew where you were going, obviously. So
good food.
Didn't really go there for the food. It was more for the drinks and the atmosphere.
That leads me more to what I was thinking the first time.
So you were looking to pick up chicks?
Of course.
Chicks.
Wow.
And that's what you do with those
and?
Places.
That was the first and last
Come
time
on, it's
for
me,
that.
Fred. That never works.
You lying your ass.
But you might have meant some girl's parents that you might
have. I see what you're doing there. Boy, he really loves to throw salt on that wound.
Oh, is it a wound? I didn't know it was a wound. I'm sorry.
It's always been a wound.
It's really
been a wound for like
it's been a wound for months.
It's been a wound much longer than it was anything other than a wound.
I thought you were so over that.
Well, yeah, but it's you know, you're You're
really?
Picking at it. You're picking at it.
I didn't
wound.
Realize it. See, you know, this is why you need to open up more, because I don't know. I didn't know that.
Why? So you won't listen and then ask the same damn question tomorrow?
I didn't know that you were still, you know, having lingering effects
of
someone you met
not,
for a week.
It's
and,
not
you know,
lingering
never
effects.
Never expected
but
to see
it,
again,
when you
but
bring it up after having not thought about it for a while, it kind of makes it a lingering effect. It's just been a lingering effect.
Okay. All right.
Just a fun fact.
So nothing has...
But you're getting off the emailer's point here.
He's getting on to his point.
I know what he's doing. The Clevelander. It's a good place.
The
Clevelander.
He says, he's just like, okay, whatever.
Oh.
And we'll be at Champs.
Hey, Fred.
We'll be in a different
Lauderdale.
City. Right.
Yes.
Different city.
I wanted to get back to that Tennessee thing that we all agreed on, how we don't want them to go undefeated because it would kind of cheapen. What do you do this week, though? When they're playing the Jets, do you just hope someone else after the Jets beats them?
I know. No, I
you can't root for the Jets, though.
No.
Tie.
I got to root for Tennessee.
Tie.
Ties
no,
happen.
No, the tie would hurt. No, but the tie would help the Jets.
I want the Jets to lose. Yeah, I let Tennessee go 11-0. I want the Jets to lose.
Yeah,
big time. God, I hate the Jets.
Ugh. You think the Titans are not as good as their record?
I see. I think they are now. I think the way they've done it the last couple of weeks.
I think
shows
based
me they can
on this
it.
League this year in the competition, they are a 10-0 team.
I've been a doubter.
It's no fluke
for most of the season, but the way they've thrown to win the last couple of weeks, and they've come from behind now a couple of times in the past three or four games. They've been down two scores and come back. And I used to think that they had this little Pittsburgh Steeler model going where as long as they're able to dictate exactly how the game is played, they're tough to beat. But they've won games in different ways now.
What about the Giants?
I think they're clearly the best team in football.
Too legit to quit.
Way they ran the ball on Baltimore, and I know I'm always critical of Baltimore's defense. I don't think it's as good as most other people do. To run for over 200 yards against Baltimore and beat them up the way they did, that game, you know, people are pointing to that interception that kind of broke the game open when it was 20-10 late in the third quarter. It was not that close at that point, and the interception made the score indicative of the dominance that the Giants were showing. Who, by the way, let me say this about Joe Flacco. He is going to be very good. I am very impressed with Joe Flacco.
He is much better in person, or at least you know in the NFL, than he was on that tape that we watched.
I cannot believe how much faster he is as a runner than he looked on tape. I wonder if he had a knee injury or some sort of leg injury last year at Delaware.
Yeah, he looked like a statue
and he couldn't run. He looked like Drew. He really did.
Yeah.
And I don't say that in a positive comparison to Drew. I mean in a plauding comparison.
Yeah, he
couldn't run.
He had no feet in that tape.
Yeah, no feet. I mean, you were way more down on him.
But he looked like a stiff.
He looked like a guy who couldn't run.
I think in this league, if you can't move at all, you are a stiff. You do stink, but he's
not
that guy.
He's very athletic.
And the fact that they had a play in their playbook to have him run down the sideline and have Troy Smith throw him the ball, that leads me to believe they know how good an athlete he is.
Well, he's got 230-plus-yard touchdown runs this year.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Daniel Tugender doing a fine job.
Chris from the Bronx sent it in.
Okay.
Chris from the Bronx doing a fine job.
I want to take his credit.
Daniel Tugender still useless. Rolando McClain, inside linebacker, Alabama, rated number one out of 59 inside linebackers.
Wow.
6'4", 248. He is a sophomore, so he's still a year
Name the best recommendation that Nick Saban ever gave Bill Belichick as far as a player.
Best recommendation.
Jarvis Green?
I would say Randall Gay.
Oh,
where you stole a guy that could contribute right away.
I would agree with Andy.
That's a good one.
The answer is Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Robinson Randall.
The answer is Wes Welker.
Wes Welker was already in the league.
No, but when Saban left, he told Belichick, you got to get this guy.
But he was already in the league.
It doesn't matter. It was still a recommendation. I didn't say draft. I said the best recommendation.
You're never going to catch me.
It cost you an awful lot more to get Wes Welker than it did.
And it was very much
worth it. Than it did to get Randall Gay.
It was much worth it.
The production based on what it cost you was far
greater. I didn't ask the value. I said the best recommendation. He said, you got to get this guy. Patriots overpaid at the time to get him, and it was worth it.
Disagree.
It was a good recommendation.
I'm with Andy. Randall Gay.
Greg Robinson,
Randall would be second.
John in Palm Bay is on the phone. John, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. John.
Hey, I just got a quick question. Maybe you guys know the answer or could speculate on it. In the offseason, I know that we'll probably have a couple of guys maybe to be free agents like Moroni won't be a free agent. But you think there's any chance we'll trade him and maybe some other players to move up in the draft?
I think no.
I don't think there's much of a chance for them trading Moroni. I don't think you trade guys when they're at their lowest value. And coming off another injury, to me, is not a good time to trade him. I don't think you get very much for him. And he's a first-round pick. They had invested in him a little bit. I would expect them to try to get back on the field healthy and produce a little bit if you wanted to move him.
And you're certainly not going to move up early in the draft. I mean, you're not going to raise.
Can't see anybody giving a first-round pick for him.
Right.
No, that's what I mean. And not even move up in with a swap at your picks. Now, maybe if you traded him to move up in the third round, but you're not going to have any significant value coming back for Lawrence Moroni at this point.
Okay. I'll see you guys at the game because I'll be there at Miami.
Oh, wow. Look forward to it. That's right. How far is Palm Bay from where they play the games?
It's about 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. Okay. So you'll be driving down or up?
Yeah, we're driving down. Me and my brothers are coming down for the holidays. One of them has season tickets.
Nice.
So we're all going to the game.
Okay.
You have good seats?
No. Nosebleed heaven.
That's okay. Good.
It's a good stadium.
You're in the house.
It's a good stadium to watch the game.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good football stadium.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't play that stupid Miami Dolphins song there.
Well, they will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They stole it from Houston.
Hopefully we don't give them a chance to.
Yeah,
well, I think that was his point.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, if they're scoring touchdowns, Fred, they're going to be playing that stupid song.
All right, see you, John. Thanks,
John.
All right, John.
Bye.
Bet you he doesn't stand up at games.
But I think Alabama will be the new pipeline.
Sure.
You know, and be interesting to see how that
Alabama,
works
they also have that Ben Jones guy or Ben.
The left tackle?
Yeah.
He's the number one overall prospect.
Yeah. So
that Coffee kid's pretty good, too.
Coffee kid?
The running back?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to get into our draft stuff.
They have
not
a physical team, Alabama. But
Mitch writes,
how skilled they are.
Mitch writes, yes, all of you. It has been.
Yes, all of you? That's how he started the email?
No, he said, hey, guys, yes, all of you.
Oh.
So he's not separating Eric.
No, there's a couple that have specifically not excluded you today.
No, Eric, you have a chance to really.
One guy said, hey, guys, including Eric.
There's a lot of momentum for you, Eric.
Groundswell, you might say?
Yes, there is. And so I think you need to, you know.
Embrace it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure.
Embrace the love.
Are you having trouble speaking?
he's finishing his sentences.
He's like starting a sentence and then like shaking his hand to like pointing at the word he wants.
There's your guy, Thomas Kincaid, again.
Richest artist I know.
He's doing sports stuff now?
Yeah, NASCAR. Limited edition. Eric, have you thought by popular demand of doing a limited edition NASCAR series?
Everything he does is limited.
To zero.
No
to his website.
Formal artistic training.
You should do a Jimmy Johnson portrait.
He just grits his teeth.
Jimmy Johnson, do a portrait.
Got to tell you, though,
not
the football guy.
The guy who just.
Yeah,
you know what would be a good portrait in black and white for you? Belichick in the hoodie with his head down, walking the sideline.
We'd have to arrange that picture, but yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah. Anyway, Mitch says it's always been a Belichick belief that his players have got to give the other team the respect they deserve and to run a tight-lipped ship, no trash talking, etc. And I do believe, for the most part, all of Bill's players have ingrained this method of thinking, especially the vets on the team, and it appears it has always been passed on to the rookies and sign-ons, etc. I have a bit of a problem with this. Uh-oh. Well, not a problem, but it seems for a long time now, very few teams, players, or news organizations – like ESPN, which sucks, have given them real respect, especially last year and leading up to the Super Bowl, and not excluding the Videogate bullcrap. And we all know it was disrespect as all teams in one form or another try to gain a bit of an advantage, and I really doubt the 3 Super Bowl wins had very little to do with videotape. Anyway, to make my long-winded story short, don't or shouldn't we all start to have the attitude, take no prisoners, it's time to play others with the respect we were not have not been given. How do you think the Giants beat us in the Super Bowl? They played us with no respect. We need to stop having so much respect for many of these teams. Do you agree with this?
Well,
okay, so basically he's saying go out and talk trash about the other team and set yourself up?
You're misaligning respect with fear
and talk.
But you're thinking because somebody says something that means they're scared of you and it's causing that the Giants didn't fear you. That had nothing to do with respect. They respected the Patriots. They just came out and said, on this day, we're the better team. They can't stop our defensive line. We're going to win. I agree with that aspect. I think there was too much of a nothing to lose on the Giants side there and just a workmanlike effort from the Patriots side that led to that upset.
But
respect was not a factor.
To add to that, I actually think the Patriots needed to have a little bit more respect for their opponent in the Super Bowl because I don't think they thought there was even a chance that they could lose that game.
I think for the first time in 5 years or more that they thought we're going to win this game. You know, I don't think they thought there was a chance in double hockey sticks.
You don't think they could lose that game.
I thought that they were a little overconfident.
I totally agree with you.
Too much business-like. And every week I think he honestly gets them to believe that every opponent could beat him. And that's why they didn't lose last year. But I think that workmanlike approach,
it was just
run of the mill. We do the same thing we did the first 18 times. Whereas I think they needed a little more of the fire of the.
I agree with you in terms of their emotional state heading into the game, Andy. But I agree wholeheartedly with you, Fred. I think that they were overconfident in that game. What I would say is don't confuse the pregame talk with having any validity whatsoever on both sides. Don't confuse the fact that the Giants showed up wearing black because they were attending a funeral with the fact that they didn't think that the team they were playing was any good.
Right.
Don't tell me they didn't have any respect for the Patriots. They absolutely did. And don't confuse the fact that the Patriots sit there and Bill will tell you on Wednesday how great the Kansas City Chiefs are and how many different and dangerous ways they can score points with him thinking that that offense is at all lethal. That's, you know, saying one thing is not necessarily what they believe and what they do. And I feel like the Patriots were overconfident heading into the Super Bowl. I agree with you, Fred.
Chris writes in, Dean Pease needs to expect something crazy from the Dolphins Sunday. They could have used the Wildcat week one against the Jets. Instead, they chose to wait until the game against New England. I'm willing to bet that they are keeping some crazy formation secret just for New England. What do you think?
I disagree with that.
I don't know about crazy formations. I mean, Bill has been pretty open saying Dan Henning every week is a gadget
game
guy,
plan,
likes
game
to
plan
do different
coach.
Things. And, quote, drawing up something today he didn't know was going to be part of the game plan yesterday. But the Wildcat thing, I thought the story was it was on the flight back from...
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Whatever. Arizona.
Yeah.
Right.
That David Lee kind of
was,
yeah,
that
brought
was
it up.
Before
and then
New
they,
England.
That, but that comes about, I totally am on board with you here, that comes about as a result of having some trouble moving the football
right.
and trying to find different and various ways...
Find any way to do
that
it.
...that you can do it. Yeah. And David Lee says, well, you know what? We did this, and Bill said this perfectly, I think, on Monday on the conference call. Well, yeah, Arizona, Arkansas did it with Darren McFadden and Felix Jones, two of their best players. Well,
they've got the personnel in Miami. So,
says, hey,
yeah.
Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams, we have these two great running backs. Let's see if we can incorporate them together and maybe find a way to jumpstart the offense a little bit. And they've used it every game since, by the way.
Right.
And it wasn't just for the Patriots. The Patriots were the first game. But they've used it every game since.
So has everybody else, damn it.
Yeah, and every other team is using it, too. So,
A quick question, game plan related. Chad Pennington, the way the Patriots have been playing lately, this season, his lack of a strong arm and ability to get the ball down the field, is that a good thing because you don't have to worry about the big plays that were a problem a month ago, or a bad thing because you have to worry even more about the underneath throws that were a problem last week?
Well, in that first game, he went down the middle to the tight end.
Was killing him
over
there. Like 18 of 20 for whatever.
Right. And so they took away the outside and the deep, and they left the soft middle open, and that's where he burned them. And you would have thought they would have taken that away because they knew he didn't have a strong arm to go down.
But can you – they've been doing all so much two deep safety stuff, taking away the deep plays against other teams. Can we get away from that this week and start having one deep safety, Merriweather all around the field, guys near the line of scrimmage?
I don't think I would do that. But how do you feel?
I wouldn't either.
I think they need to do something
better.
To be more aggressive in the middle of the field. Or we're back to they've been bad in the middle of the field for a year and a half now, and sooner or later they need to stop it.
I think they need to do, you know, what Pittsburgh used to do with the, the zone blitz type thing where – you know, guys that you thought were going to blitz actually drop back in the coverage and kind of flood that zone a little bit. You know, keep Pennington off just a little bit until he figures out who actually is going to give him pressure. And by that time, you know, maybe the play is disrupted.
I do think the pressure needs it, whether it's zone blitzing or just pressure. It's the same question I've been having all year. Have you seen Mike Vrabel and what is going to happen to the pass rush?
Well, I think if they run the ball reasonably well in Miami, I think that Pennington is smart enough to take shots when he has single deep help.
And that's what he does. He still does that.
He's
he'll do a play action.
There is no quarterback.
They run, and he'll just chuck it because he can chuck
there
it.
There is no quarterback in the NFL that can't throw a 50-yard bomb to somebody.
Right.
It will take longer to get there when Pennington throws it, no doubt. But if he doesn't have help over the top, it can take all day to get there if the receiver's behind the one guy covering him.
Right.
That's why I think that might be a dangerous way to give Miami some cheap points.
All right, we got two more days of PFW in progress coming up this week. Stay tuned for John Rook. We're going to take off. Eric, are you staying?
Yes, he is.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.